on. That's what you got to do. You just keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And I hope that you'll pray for us and get the thought of this message this morning. Now, this message today is about King Solomon. King Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. As you know, his mother and dad's relationship was anything but right to begin with. But God, as God always does, can take something bad and make something good come out of it. And because David and Bathsheba brought forth Solomon. God did bless them that with this little boy, the wisest man that had ever lived up until the Lord Jesus himself was Solomon. Now I'm going to look today at how Solomon, King Solomon, honored his mother. The Bible said that we're to honor our father and mother. What does that mean? Honor their father. A lot of people say, well, how do you honor them? Go buy them a card? A flower? What do we do to honor? You see the white flowers today in honor of mothers that have gone on to heaven. You see the red flowers a lot of people have on to honor their mother who's alive. All that's good. And I'll talk about that. But look at 1 Kings chapter 2 and look at verse number 16. His mother came to him and said this, "And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not, since he is a king." And she said unto him, "Say on, say on." Look at verse 19. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her. He was the king. And sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his right hand. Notice that. King Solomon, the ruler of the entire nation of Israel, mother came in to see him one day. She said, "Son, this king, he's the king. It'd be a higher office than the President of the United States has right now. You just didn't walk into the king, see the king. Somebody said, your mother wants to see you." He said, "Tell her, come right in here right now." His mother walks in. She says, "I have a petition." So the king sits down on his throne, and he has another seat, a throne to sit right here, and has his mother sit right beside him. That was the absolute highest place of honor that a person could have, would be to sit at the king's right hand. I remind you, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. The right hand of God. So the highest honor a person could have would be to sit at the king's right hand. That's the honor that he gave his mother. Mother's Day began May 9th, 1914. President Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as a day that we revere and honor our mothers. I'm glad they did it back in 1914 because nothing like that would ever get passed today. It's a different day than we're living in. But back in those days, they realized the hand that rocks the cradle is the one that rules the world. Thank God for good, godly mothers. Now I want to talk about this morning how to honor your mother. How to honor your mother. I saw people yesterday. I was getting cards for different mothers that I want to honor. And I saw people yesterday, and these old redneck guys, it's kind of funny, you want to watch them standing there looking at them cards. They'll pick one up and look at it. They'll pick another one up and look at it. And I said, I appreciate them old boys. Been out working all week. There's rough-looking bunch of old boys and in there doing that to honor their mother. And you know, there's one thing we have, people in the big cities up north, they might make fun of us, but at least we have been taught some respect that we honor our mother when she is older. Amen? Well, they were picking out cards, and I saw that, and I thought that's a wonderful thing. And then I thought there will be thousands, tens of thousands of visits paid today. Mama, I want to come by and see you. And you should. You should. Mama, I want to just spend a little time with you. I love you. I know they can be cranky. I know they can be even downright mean sometimes. So were you when you was little, and they put up with you. I know there'll be thousands of dinners. I think Mama gets a short end of the stick a lot of times. It's Mother's Day, and she gets up and gets all the kids ready for church. And then she comes and teaches a Sunday school class. And then goes home and fixes dinner while everybody sits in there and watches football, honoring Mother. And she's going to have to clean the mess up about 4 o'clock that evening. She's finally done well. Great Mother's Day, you know. I think sometimes they get cheated a little bit, but at least the family can get together. And that's good. That's good. You ought to honor your mother. Trust me, she ain't always going to be here, and she's not always going to be there, so you better do it while you can. I'd love to be able to hug my mother today, but I can't. She's with the Lord in heaven. And today, how exactly do we honor our mother? I remember Jesus dying on the cross. Jesus was dying on the cross. All the streams of prophecy in the entire Old Testament go right to Calvary. All the answers of man's problems, past, present, and future, are answered there on Mount Calvary. The whole world is changing. The answer of the world is hanging on the cross, and the whole world, past, present, and future, is waiting to hear what the Son of God's going to say. And one of the things He said while He was on the cross is, John, take care of your mama. Take care of mama. Mama, behold your son. Son, behold your mom. He said, you take care of my mother. Think about that. Of all the prophecies he could have mentioned, of all the things he could have said, of all the issues he could have brought up, wars, famines, past, present, future, God, heaven, hell, he looked down from the cross and said, take care of mama. That's the way the Lord honored his mother. While he was dying on the cross, he spoke those immortal words, take care of mother. Now, kids make little cards. Our kids will probably do it today. They'll make little cards, and it'll draw, I love you, Mama, from so-and-so, and the writing will be crooked and everything, and we'll take to them, here, Mama, that's great. Probably, I hope, when some of you get out of here today, your kids will come up from Sunday school, and they'll say, I made you this. I drew this for you. All of those are good and honor and do our mother. But there's a way more to honoring your mother than just giving her a flower on the second Sunday in May. There's a lot more to honoring your mother than just visit. This stuff's wonderful. I'm all for it. Doing like we did a while ago. I'm all for it. I love you. Shop dinner. Take her out. Cook her something on the grill. Fix it for her. Do something for her. Do something for her. But there's a lot greater way of honoring your mother. A lot of people get too busy for mom. They think, oh, I'll just send her something nice. I ain't got time to fool her. I read about this woman. She's an elderly lady, and she had 3 boys, and every one of them had got rich. They had a lawyer and a doctor and everything, and they'd moved off to another place, and they didn't ever see her, and every one of them made a lot of money. Well, it come Mother's Day, and it was like her 90th birthday or something like that, and they all 3 thought, I'm going to do something special, special, special for Mom. So the first son bought her a red Ferrari. Can you imagine that? A red Ferrari, and had it delivered. I mean, little tiny red thing, knock your eyes out, boy, about 150,000, 200, whatever they are. And boy, had that thing parked in front, had the keys delivered to her. And he thought that'd be the next one. The second son, he spent a fortune and had a crew come in and put all brand new furniture in her house. He had everything, new sofa, new recliners, I mean, bedroom suits, everything, the kitchen table, chair, everything completely redone inside of her house. Spent maybe $100,000 redoing everything, floors, everything. The third son, he thought, you know, my mom always really liked the Bible. He said, I'm going to give her something. So he goes and buys, he finds out about this guy that has this parrot that can be trained. He spent an absolute fortune having this parrot trained to recite the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He spent $50,000 nearly on a parrot that could recite every book in the Bible. He said, this will be unique. This will be something nobody else has. I want to honor my mother and show her how much I appreciate her. Well, Mother's Day finally came. It came and went, and about 2 weeks later, all the boys got a letter from Mama. Dear son, number one, thank you so much for the little red car. It is very cute, but I can't get in it. I have to about get down on the and nearly crawl inside of it. Thank you, but it really, I don't need it. I can't see anyway, and I can barely drive once in a while, but I appreciate the thought. She wrote the letter, son number two. Thank you so much for the thought, but I didn't need all this new furniture. Tell you the truth, I sort of like my old rocking chair that I had. I enjoyed sitting in that rocking chair. And this new one is stiff, and it don't feel right, and it don't. I mean, I appreciate you offering everything, but son, I didn't really need all that. I didn't want that. She wrote a letter to son number three. Son number three, your gift was the most thoughtful of all three of them. Thank you so much. They went and wasted all kinds of money on expensive gifts that meant nothing to me. Thank you so much for that bird. It was delicious. There's more ways to honor your mother than just buying her something expensive. Because a lot of times, and that's the way my mom was. What's your mom like that? I remember one time I went to Sam's, and I thought Sam's had these recliners on sale, these leather recliners. And I thought, I'm going to buy my mom one of them. And it was like, it was like $300-something, and them lazy boys was about 900 or something. And I thought, I'm going to get her one of them. And I bought her one of them things. And I took it there. And she never did like that thing as good as I wished she would. And but you know, sometimes we think, oh, just buy her something nice. We're busy. We ain't got time to fool you. But honoring your mother, my friend, is a much greater task than buying her something. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? How do we honor our mother? Now, God gave you a mother. She may not be perfect. She may have made her mistakes. But at least she didn't abort you when you was in her womb. And she did love you enough to bring you into this world and take care of you while you were little. God only knows what my mom went through taking care of us three, me and her, my sister there, and my oldest sister Sandy. When my daddy was gone, daddy was not at the hospital when none of us was born. Daddy was never around. He'd bring the money home. He'd make sure the bills were paid. But I mean, he was gone wild all the time. God only knows the nights she would sit and rot in a rocking chair trying to bring a fever down. God only knows the times she took care of us and you when she didn't feel like it. God only knows when she done left. I heard Jack Hiles say his mother worked for 50 cents a day when he was a child and walked 2 miles, 1 mile and back every day to work so she wouldn't have to pay the nickel or whatever it was to ride the bus. And they went 12 years without one new dress. And we don't know the sacrifice they made. How are we going to honor them? How is the best way you can honor your mother? I'm going to tell you, and we'll go. It's very quick. Number one, the greatest way you can honor your mother, I've learned this by the Bible, I've learned it in church, and I've learned it by personal experience, is by doing the will of God for your life. You find out what God wants you to do and do it, and that's the greatest honor you'll ever bring to your mother. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, the man who's a success in life, listen to me, teenagers, the man who's a success in life is a man that finds out what God wants him to do and does it. There's your success. The person who's a success in this life is the person who finds out what God wants him to do and does it. Most people think the person who's a success is the person that has the most stuff. More money, more stuff. There ain't nothing wrong with that, but that don't make you a success. Some of the most miserable people in the world have a lot of stuff. The happiest person in the world is the person that finds out what God wants them to do. You say, well, how do you know what God wants you to do? You seek Him. You pray. You follow Him. You go to church every time a door is open. You read this book. You pray. You say, preacher, do you know? Listen, I am just as sure as my name's Danny Castle that I'm doing God's will for my life. I ain't perfect. I fail every day. I ain't saying I'm perfect. I'm a long way from it. But I am just as sure. Listen, I'm going somewhere and I stand up and preach and there's a crowd of teenagers in there and a fire of God falls and the Holy Ghost moves and people start getting saved. I am just as I would not be as content if I was on a $1 million yacht in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and had anything I wanted. That satisfies the longing of my soul. There's a peace. There's a joy. There's something about doing God's will. That'll help you and be a more blessing to your mother than anything else. You know the greatest way you can honor your mother is do God's will for your life. Amen. Fulfill God's plan for your life. I was born, she said, Marion Hospital. The old hospital at Marion. I weighed 6 pounds. I was about 5 years old before I got up to 20 pounds. I guess. I don't know. I was little. I weighed 135 in high school. I weigh 150 right now. People come hear me preach all the time. They said, that's him? This happened all the time before the internet came out. They'd hear me on the radio. They'd say, I'm disappointed. And I said, well, sorry. They said, I thought you was real big. And made big shoulders, and had a big belly. I said, sorry to disappoint you. I like Daddy said that when I got saved. Daddy said he's got enough of my mouth and Mom's goodness to make a preacher. And I'm going to tell you what I did. She went through all that for me to the hospital. I don't know what it's like. They say it's rough. Can't sit down. You can't stand up. You're too miserable sitting down to stand up and too miserable standing up to sit down. You can't even walk. Right. You have to walk sort of leaning backwards like this. If you sit straight up, you just fall over. Your belly gets so big. One little kid came up and said, she's gone on an eternity dress. That's a good name for it, ain't it? Eternity dress. It seemed like an eternity. Wake up wanting pickles at 3 o'clock in the morning. Wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning craving a mayonnaise between 2 slices of watermelon. Weird kind of stuff like that. Finally, the time comes. They go down into the jaws of death and brought us into this world. Thank God! I bring a reproach to my mother if I don't do the will of God for my life. I like what D.L. Moody said. D.L. Moody said years ago, old D.L. Moody, he said, he went and heard a preacher preach, and that preacher said, it's yet to be seen what God can do with one man who will totally surrender himself to God. And D.L. Moody raised his hand and said, by God's grace, I'll be that man. The smartest thing I ever did in my life, and I've done some dumb ones, but the smartest thing I ever done in my life was when I gave my life to the Lord completely, and that honored my mother more than anything I could have ever done with my life.
Yes, sir.
Anything. Listen, D.L. Moody's mom prayed. D.L. Moody said, when I was young, he said, my mama made me go to church. And he said, I hated to go. He said, she made me go every Sunday and I hated it. She said, every Sunday morning I had to go. And he said, I made up my mind when I got out on my own, I was not going back to church. I'm smart. You know how these dumb young men are. They think they're geniuses and they got the world all figured out and they're smarter than they was when they, you know, how stupid they are. And that's what he thought. He said, I got out there and I couldn't stand it. He said there wasn't nothing out there that'd satisfy me. He said I wound up going back to church. He said I got right with God. He became one of the greatest preachers that the world has ever known. You know why? Because his mother, he said before he died, listen ladies, he said I thank God Mom made me go to church when I didn't want to.
Yep.
You are not making a mistake by making your kids go to church. One lady told me, she said, "I'm just not going to make them go. I'm afraid they'll turn against it." Well, don't make them go to school or you'll be a hypocrite. Amen. You make them go to school, don't you? You say, "They'll turn against it." They're already against it. You make them go to the dentist. You make them go. Make them go to church. That's what they need. Kids, make them brush their teeth. Make them eat what's good for them. They'll thank you for it one of these days. Well, my mom, when she was younger and we were all little, wanted God's will for my life. And I wasn't doing it. And I grew up, as you know, and I got saved when I was 18, coming to the house, and she was standing in the kitchen with a dish rag, just wiping stuff. The picture I got in my mind of her was the rag in her hand. Continually. She'd wipe that nasty thing right on her forehead. And that's clean there, brother. She'd wipe you down, brother. Before you even got through eating, she had your plate trying to wash it. You ever had anybody like that? It gets on your nerves. Mama just went in there to get me something to drink. She already had your plate. Daddy said he'd get up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom, come back and his bed be made up. And that's what she used to do. I don't believe that. But Peanut, get the man some slack. I want to read you something here. And I'm not going to read you this whole letter. It's about 6 pages. That's from my mom that she wrote me back in the late 90s. And she writes Romans 8:28, and she writes some long letters. This one's like 6 pages. And here's what I tell you about honoring your mother, people. I'm glad I did what I did now. I'm glad I came in that night and told her I was saved and I was going to live right. All you people here this morning, you want to honor your mother? Get up here and get your life right with God so she won't have to worry about you dying and going to hell. Amen. That's the greatest way you can honor her. Dearest number one son, there'll never be another one. And she goes on and on. I'm not going to read it all. But she said, "I feel so ungrateful for you to say I'm a best mom. But I thank you for thinking so. I failed in many ways. But I'm so thankful for the love and fear I have always had for God. When you kids were growing up, every night I would ask God to watch over you and take care of you. And I would live to see you all grown up so Lawrence would not bring in somebody else who would be mean to you." She just wrote me this a few years ago. She said, "I always checked each one of you at night to see if you were all right and covered up. You 3 kids were my life. It took me a good 7 or 8 years to adjust after you were all married. When you were away preaching, coming in late, lots of times I would see your car go up the hill and thank God he brought you home safe. I didn't know she was even over looking, and she was looking to see if my car was going up a driveway. Used to, when I'd be out real, real late, and I'd come home, it'd be 11:30. 12 o'clock at night, one of the girls would call. Carrie would call and say, "Daddy, where you at? I thought I heard something." I said, "It's all right, don't worry about it. Ain't nobody going to mess with y'all." She'd say, "Daddy, how long will it be before you get here?" I said, "About an hour." I was coming fast as I can. And I'd be coming from Charlotte or somewhere like that. I'm talking about thousands of nights, people. Thousands. And then when Carrie got married, and Crystal, she would always, I don't know if she still does this. They told her when she was little, they said, "Put the Bible on your pillow and you won't have bad dreams." And she used to do that all the time. So then she started keeping the gun under her pillow too. So if anybody ever talked about breaking in my house, she was ready for you, buddy. I mean, you know, you keep the Bible, bad dreams, keep the gun for the robber. Keep the Bible in there, keep the devil away, keep the gun in there, keep the right. Makes good sense to me. And Mom said, "I would see your car go up the hill and thank God he brought you home safe." She always felt guilty. She said, all them times I should have been going with you, but I'd be so tired. Son, I thank you for never giving up, for never giving me a lot of trouble. I can never thank Jesus enough for saving you. All those nights I stayed up to see you come home from preaching, you could have been coming home on drugs or drinking. Thank you, Lord. I was saved at 23 years old. And believe me, I've not been perfect. And I've watched your life closely, she said, and watched you try to live for the Lord. And I know down through the years, life has been so hard for you. And I feel like I've not been this and this and this. And she goes on and on and on, saying, I'm her favorite preacher, and I'm this and I'm that. And you know what? I pulled that out last night and read it, and I thought, you know something? I would rather my mom had drawn her last breath and went to heaven knowing my boy's a preacher. He ain't rich. He ain't president. He don't own a big company. He don't own, you know, thousands of stuff in this world. But he's doing God's will for his life. That's the greatest way you can honor your mother. You can't honor your mother no greater.
Right.
You don't have to get rich. You don't have to have this world good. Get you in a good Bible-believing church. Get in Shining Light Baptist Church. Be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Honor God. Work on the bus route. Teach the Sunday school class. That's all that's going to matter one of these days, people.
Amen.
Listen, I hope every one of y'all get rich. I ain't against making money. I praise God. We need to pay tithes. But the greatest way to honor your mother is do God's will for your life. Let your mom know that everything is all right. I wanted my mom to hear that. When I was in sin, I never did want my mom to hear me cuss or nothing like that. And of course, I quit when I was 18 because I didn't want to hurt her. And I have hurt her, and it hurt me that I hurt her. But I wanted her to think, my son works hard, he pays his bills, he'll take care of his family, and I don't have to worry about him when he's out at night. I know where he's at. You know, I honor your mother. Solomon set her right there at his right hand. It's more than buying a flower or a card. The greatest way you can honor your mother is hug her neck this morning and say, Mom, you don't have to worry about me. I'm saved and I'm doing God's will for my life. You couldn't make her happier than that. Jason, I want y'all ladies to come back up here and sing that song again. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Every head bowed, eye closed, nobody's moving. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's moving. They're going to come and get that song this morning. Get our mics, please. God's speaking to your heart this morning. Can you look at your blessed mother today and say, everything's all right?